In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God, amen. This gospel, as you know, it's read towards the end of the Coptic year. As you know, we're ready for Nowruz, which is the feast of the beginning of the new Coptic year, September 11th. You know, September 11th, not just the big event, but also not just the sad commemoration, but also it's the Feast of Nowruz, where we celebrate the martyrs of the church and the beginning of the new Coptic year. So the church wants to end the year with this gospel to get us ready. And, you know, to remind us the end of the year, end of the world, and stuff like this. For many years, I consider this gospel to be my favorite. And I know it's not the favorite of a lot of people. It's a scary gospel. It's not, you know, it's not very upbeat. But it was actually my favorite gospel for many years until something happened. And, you know, maybe I shared with you a couple of years ago when I went to a mission trip in Sudan. And while I was going there, I got a lot of different messages that you're not coming back from this trip. Like, that's this is your end. And then, since I love the end of the world and stuff like this, I said, yes, good, very good. So, you know, the events are very funny. Like, we, you know, where we were traveling, like, I had to travel to Cairo first and then from Cairo to Khartoum. And over there, they said, did you know that, you know, the worst airlines ever, or the history of airlines falling more airplanes than anyone else is like the, you know, Sudanese airlines. And they actually stopped for a while, and the average is like 50-50, you know. So you don't know if you're going to make it there or not. So I made it there to Khartoum and said, well, I passed this, you know, everything is okay. And then I was going to southern Sudan, where the big events are going on now, and we had to take a flight for 3 hours. And imagine if you're going to fly 3 hours, if you're going to drive 3 hours, just drive, would you take 50 years old car, 50 years old, 1960? I don't think so. It's not safe to drive 3 hours. So we took a plane that was like 1960. And, you know, we flew with this, and they said over there, you know, the runway is just mud, you know, it's not, you know, asphalt or anything like this. And also there is a big chance that you make it there, you know. So thank God we made it there. But throughout these events and going and all of this, I was just battling with myself. Am I ready or not? I thought that I was ready. I thought that I was ready. But by the end of the trip, I said, thank God that you brought me back safely and I'm still alive, because I'm not ready. And I'm not saying that because, you know, no one will ever feel like he's 100% ready. But there is a big, like, facing the Lord and meeting the Lord is not an easy thing. It's not an easy thing. And the end of the world, whether you're, you know, the biggest saint in the world or you're someone who's far away from God, still, it's not an easy thing. It's not an easy going thing. It's a hard thing. And it feels like, you know, going to school, you know, knowing that it's a good school year, and all of a sudden the teacher says, well, there's a test today. We're not prepared for a test. Well, I decided there is a test today. And this test is something that, you know, I didn't prepare for. It's the worst thing. It's the worst feeling when you go unprepared, or, you know, you're invited to a dinner or something, and all of a sudden you know that, you know, you have to speak. I'm not ready. Or to come to liturgy, and you don't know you're giving the sermon, and all of a sudden Abuna tells you, you're giving the sermon. Something like this, you know. So the hardest thing is when you're not ready. And the Lord told us how to be ready today. And the way to be ready, he said, that you watch and pray. Watch and pray. He gave a lot of signs to the end of the world. But in the end, he said, no one will know the hour. It will be unknown. No one can ever figure it out. So why are you giving us the signs then? Do you want to tell us the date or you don't want to? Well, I want you to know the end of the days. Why do you want us to know the end of the days? Because it's not going to be easy. It's not going to be easy. And I want you to watch and pray. And during this time, I want you to endure. You know, whoever will endure to the end will be saved. What if I'm not ready for that? What if I don't know that? What if I'm not prepared mentally and spiritually for that? It will be very, very, very tough. I will be disappointed. I will be discouraged. I will be confused. And that's, you know, that's the worst thing, is just to be confused. Towards the end, people will not know what's going on. And the Lord was saying signs, stuff falling from heaven and earthquakes and just crazy things going around. And nobody understands what's going on until they see the Son of Man coming in the clouds. But we, as the children of God, we are not children of darkness, but children of light. We should never be asleep. And when he said watch and pray, it doesn't mean that you never go to sleep. That's not the meaning. But the meaning is be awake. Like, be alert of what's going on around you in the world. Be alert if these are the days or not. How do I know? He said, watch around you. He said, you look at heaven and you say, okay, today is going to be a rainy day or a sunny day, or it's going to be hot or it's going to be cold or humid, whatever it is. How can't you know, what's going on in the end? Sometimes God puts it in the hearts of certain people to be the alarm. The alarm. Something is going on. Something is happening. You know, somehow I feel that about this topic. Towards the end, there are two problems that are going to face humankind. But mainly the church. Two things will fight the church. Immorality and darkness. Immorality or darkness. Darkness means being confused, not knowing what to do, what's right, what's wrong. Is there a time where people cannot differentiate between right and wrong? That's darkness. Darkness is like when you can't differentiate between right and wrong. Or, as the Lord said about the end of the days, one word that's repeated so much in this gospel is deceived. Do not be deceived. Let no one deceive you. What is the deception? What is it about? It's about the right and wrong. Left and right. What am I supposed to do? You know, who is God? And what does God want from me? When we see homosexuality coming into some of the churches, the Christian churches, what does that mean? Darkness. People cannot differentiate between right and wrong. Things were confused for people. Things are so confusing. Is this right? Maybe it's okay. Like, accommodation, can we be more understanding? Can, like, what to do? How can we be more accepting? What is this? It's like confusion. Now, long time ago, a sin was called sin. But now the sin is called mistake. It's a mistake. Even major sins are called mistakes. What is that? Confusion. The white and the black they started to mix together so people don't see what's going on. Or the Word of God is being diluted so much. Not just that. Just being too busy for the Word of God and for prayer that I don't know how to differentiate between things. That's when darkness starts. When things seem all the same. So when I lie, it doesn't seem that it's a lie. Or, you know, when I cheat on my taxes, it doesn't seem very bad. And, you know, my conscience doesn't really convict me about it. When things get confused like this, where is this coming from? Where is the conscience? Where is the Holy Spirit that is speaking to us? Well, here is the point. I cannot deal with the darkness. But let's see what is the root of the darkness. You will see that the root of darkness is something called distractions. Being distracted. Being too busy. Having so many things in life. And as you know, normal human being now, you know, a kid in junior high, I think he's studying something that people used to do, you know, to, like, it's an equivalent to PhD like 200 years ago. What happened? People, like, were cramming information, you know, inside people. People are knowledgeable so much. So what's the end of that? A lot of confusion. A lot of confusion, a lot of distraction. We have the Bible on our phones, on our iPads, on our computers, on our MP3s, and in the car, and in the radio, and at church, and the website, and all of this. But this is the least time where people read the Word of God. Where is this coming from? Where is this coming from? It's coming from this spirit of distraction. We're so distracted. Yes, you have the Bible in your phone, but you have so many other things and so many numbers and rings and alerts and stuff like this, and 200 messages and 500 Facebook stuff and tweets and all of this. What can I do with all of this amount of information? Distraction. Distraction, distraction, distraction. And this will create darkness and will mix things, and I don't know what's right from what's wrong. And that's the worst. I cannot see God. I don't know who God is and what is God's place in my life. And, you know, how can I feel God? Why? So distracted, very busy. I have too many things in my day that I cannot finish. Again, what is this? Distraction. We're in distraction mood. People complain so much about in prayer, I cannot focus in prayer. I make the time to pray, but I feel it's a waste of time. Why? I don't really focus. Distracted. We become in a distracted mood. Completely distracted. And then, of course, I cannot feel God. I cannot feel the Word of God. I cannot get any messages. I need something to wake me up, and it's exactly the commandment of the Lord in the end of days. Watch and pray. Wake up and pray. Focus, pray. Focus, 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 focus. Then pray, pray, pray. How can I do that practically? As I said, darkness come, and usually the darkness is the beginning of immorality. The two things that people will face in the end of the world. Sexual immorality and the darkness. These two. And both have, you know, this root of darkness and distraction. We must fight distraction in our daily life that I can find God. So distracting from reading the Word of God, even though I know very well that the Word of God is so encouraging to me. I know that the Word of God is going to help me and it's going to set things in order, and yet I don't make the time for it. I may even make the time for it, but I sit and nothing is getting inside. Why? There is a cloud. There's a cloud here. Cloud of information, cloud of responsibilities, cloud of distractions. Nothing is getting into my soul. That's why also the parable of the end of the days is the 10 virgins. 5, foolish. Everything they're doing is from outside. And 5 is wise. They have things are inside. There are oil being stored inside. I'm afraid that the oil we have, it's all on the outside. I pray just that I have enough peace to go through my day. Did I save something? No. Do I have enough peace to give to other people? No, absolutely not. I can't help someone. I barely survive. I barely have enough patience for myself and my family and my kids. I don't have enough patience for other people. So many people say that. Pray for me. I just don't have patience for anyone. Absolutely. Why? Because I'm not saving enough of that. What can I do? What is the solution? Again, the message is watch and pray. I'm going to stick to watch and pray is known. Pray means pray. Pray means pray. Pray means how much are you praying? Are you really praying or not? Do you really have prayer life or not? Okay? So I'm not going to touch this. But I'm going to focus on the how to watch. Daily, weekly, and monthly. Daily, the church put for us the prayer of the 12th hour of the Agbayim. Salat al-Num, compliant prayer, whatever you want to call it. 12th hour. The theme of this prayer is actually about death. Now there was a man in Jerusalem, his name was Simeon, and Simeon was a devout man waiting for the consolation of Israel. The Holy Spirit came upon him, and the Holy Spirit gave him by the Spirit that he shall not see death until he sees the Lord Christ himself. He's not going to see death unless he sees the Lord is Christ. He's not going to see death unless he sees the Lord Christ. So before I go to death or bed or whatever it is, because sleep is like a small version of death. It's like a, you know, it's a rehearsal. Before you see death, you have to see the Lord Christ. Before I go to bed, I have a place for the Lord. In the Psalm of David. David said that I will not give my eyes sleep, and I will not close my eyelids until I find a place for the Lord of Jacob. Where? Here in my heart. I will not sleep until me and the Lord are united together. There is no way I'm going to do that. But I sinned. Do the repentance right there. But never go to sleep unless you go through your day and admit the lie that you said, the exaggeration, the bad look, the anything that displeased the Lord. And that's how you keep the Holy Spirit inside of you. And that's how you have a clear conscience. All what it takes is, Lord, I'm sorry about this. Please forgive me and dwell inside of me. Let not your Holy Spirit depart away from me every single day of my life. Or else, watch and pray. Watch and pray. That's why the church also put for us the prayer of the midnight hour. 3 watches, you know, in case, you know, you're extra alert in your spiritual life, wake up in the middle of the night and get prepared to meet the Lord. It's a beautiful, beautiful, beautiful prayer, and it's very relevant for anyone who says, I want to watch. It's a practical application of being watchful. Some time to examine my day before I sleep. Very, 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 very important. As much as it's simple like this, as much as it's powerful. And never go to sleep unless you know that you are united with God, that you are His beloved son and daughter, and He lives inside of you. And I promise you, all what it takes is, Lord, I have sinned, forgive me. That's it. That's all what it takes for the Lord to come back and have full presence in your heart and in your life before you go to sleep. Is it too difficult? Is it too hard? How can I go to sleep without just, you know, clearing this? It's beautiful. It's wonderful. And even if I have to make an amends, you know, I'll do that the following day, or I'll commit to this. But I can't go to sleep without this. That's number one. Number two is weekly, having an hour, or preferably 2 hours, of silence, quietness, away from phones, emails, ringers, all of this. And I usually recommend Saturdays. If you notice, like a couple of months ago, in the daily journal, we used to put you like a plan, how to do a mini retreat every Saturday for 2 hours. And, you know, since I said that, we're going to put it on the daily journal every Saturday. Every Saturday, we're going to put this plan, how to do 2 hours mini retreat. Silence, quietness, reviewing my day, just being alert, waking up. Oh, God has been, like, I heard this sermon, and I read this book, and this someone told me that. Obviously, the Lord is trying to do something. Something is going on in my life. Not only in my life. Something is going on in the world. Read the news. You know, not in these 2 hours. You know, some other time. But there's something going on. I don't know if you guys know or not. Like, do you hear Syria? Morsi? These words? Do they ring a bell? You know, and what's happening around the world? There's something. I'm not saying that the world is ending tomorrow. But I'm saying we are close to the end. Look around you. Look at the signs. And maybe if you're a young person, it might not make a lot of sense for you. But if you're old, tell other people, things used to be different. Things used to be much easier. And I told you that last Holy Week. I've been a priest for about 17 years. Things used to be much, much, much easier before. People wanted to repent. It was so easy. So easy. People wanted to be close to God. So easy. Now, you have to fight what's in your pocket. You have to fight, you know, things that are closest to you. It's much more difficult. The distractions, you know, the infiltration of the information into our lives is just unbelievable. Someone think of that, comprehend, and says something is going on. And this is one way direction. We were in a retreat like a week ago, and we needed like internet access. And the place wouldn't give us like internet access, and we made a big deal out of it. And the group that were with us said, how funny that is. 5 years ago, we wouldn't even think about that. But now it's essential. How come you give us this place without internet access? It's like giving us a place without water or electricity. This is how important it is. You know what I mean? So, can this ever go back? Can we ever go back like 10 years ago where no emails and no cell phones, stuff like this? Impossible. It's only going this direction. It's never going back. What is this? How did this change my life? It's unbelievable. To a point that I asked the IT people to put some signal distraction in the church. So when you come to church, your cell phone doesn't work. It's a confession. And they said it's illegal. I said, excuse me? Yeah, it's illegal. You cannot just block people's cell phone because now they rely on it. Some doctors, some people, you know, they get their text, their stuff like this. I said, fine. So how can I get people to stop buzzing in the church? And then they said, you give them a different buzz, you know, hopefully something, you know, will excite them. But you're at church and you're buzzing. We're all buzzing, you know. Very few people like leave their phone in the car or something like this. That I need to stay away from these at least 2 hours a week. At least 2 hours a week. What is this? It's a practically the Lord's day. I'm not inventing anything new. The Lord said, one day a week, leave everything. And some people, you know, the Jewish people do it like literally, but sometimes I like it. You know, they don't do anything. They can't access anything. It's good. We need a reset button. We need refreshment. We need time where we can meditate and think and be watchful and be meditative, that the Holy Spirit can speak to us again. So daily, in your daily examination before you go to sleep, weekly, in spending some time with the Lord without any kind of distractions, and I'm saying just 2 hours. And I recommend Saturday because I know that Sunday, even Sunday is a busy day. If you can do it Sunday, perfect. 2 hours. Without a distraction, without interruption, without any alerts. And then maybe monthly, and I recommend that to a lot of people, they take just an extended time, maybe a day. You know, I call this a personal retreat, just one day. Also, to regain my spiritual energy. To just gain sometimes my mental energy. And you can never have a spiritual life without your mental energy and your emotional energy. And both of those are drained. It's very, very difficult to have your spiritual energy without those. And those are very difficult with all these distractions. So we need to set aside time for that. That our life may be renewed. And our life, you know, that I can see the Lord. And I can see His work. And I can see His love. We're all dying for love. We are desperate for the love of God. But I promise you, the love of God is not in a book you read. And the love of God is not somewhere supposed to come. But the love of God is actually when you sit with the Lord, you know, in quietness and stillness and getting, you know, hearing His beautiful voice and being in His presence, which gives you the love of God. Love of God is not something, you know, it's not information, but it's an experience. Where you sit in the presence of God and absorb that and get enough energy to serve yourself and to serve others. Because guess what? It's time that the priests and the servants, all these people, are never enough to serve even 10% of what we're supposed to serve. The only solution is all of us. We get energy, spiritual energy, saving that in order to serve others, in order to help others, in order to spread the love of God. Glory be to God forever and ever.